We're in the middle of Likutei Moran, Tanina, Torah Ches, Chapter 8, and we're in the middle of Paragraph Gimel. The page that we're up to now, Likutei Moran, it's page 37, the left-hand column, the paragraph beginning, Vezeh Bechinas Vayishma Yisrael, towards the top of the page, the left-hand paragraph towards the top of the page. The last topic that we spoke about was the concept of a tefillah of Bechinas Din. We said that this time the Gemara begins talking about the importance of reprimanding a person, knowing how to do it the right way, and if a person does it the right way, how much is accomplished by it, and if a person does it the wrong way, how destructive it could be. And we said that the key to being zeichah to this level of teichacha is through tefillah. And Rabbeinu Zal explained that there is a time where the tumah is drawing from the tefillah, and the tumah has swallowed up the quality of kindness. The kindness has been trapped and captured by the Goyim, where at that point in time, the only tefillah that could be davened is a tefillah bebechinas din, a tefillah that's on the level of harshness. And the nature of the satan, of the tumah, of the klipos, is that when this kind of tefillah is put forth, they swallow up this tefillah. And this tefillah, when presented by the proper type of individual, by a tzaddik who's on a high enough level, when the satan swallows up this tefillah, this causes an explosion, in a sense, to go off in the stomach, kaviyochel, of the satan. And in this explosion, not only does that tefillah exit from there, but it also takes with it a lot of sparks of Kedusha that were already swallowed up by the Satan, and they are brought out through this explosion that causes this type of vomiting on the part of the Satan. And Rabbeinu Zal proved all of this from Psukim in the Torah and Chumash and Navi, which explain different examples of when this took place. This is where we're up to. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Vezeh bechinas vayishma Yisroi." There's a Gemara that says that Parshas Yisroi begins with the words, "Yisroi heard a certain item." Yisroi heard about the miracles that took place with the Jews when they were let out of Egypt, and the Torah says that he heard and he decided to come see his son-in-law, Moshe Rabbeinu. So the pasuk begins with the words, Vayishma Yisroi, and Yisroi heard. And the Gemara says, Ma Shmua Shama Uva. What item did Yisroi hear that made him come running, to visit Moshe Rabbeinu? Kriyas Yamsuf uMelchemes Amalek. The Gemara says there were two miracles specifically that Yisroi heard about that made him come running. He heard about the miracle of the splitting of the Red Sea, the fact that Hashem had split the Red Sea for Bnei Israel, uMelchemes Amalek, and the miracle of the fact that the nation of Amalek tried to start up with the Jews, and the Jews were even zeichet to be victorious over them. Not complete victory, but they were able to weaken the nation of Amalek at that time. So now the Gemara, Rabbeinu Zal explains, Ki Amalek timei es Yisrael bepigam taivas niyuf. Amalek tried to defile the Jewish nation with the pigam of taivas niyuf, with committing sins related to women in thought, in speech, and in action. K'moshe kosuv, as the pasuk says in Devarim, where Moshe Rabbeinu reviews what happened. The whole Chumash Devarim is a review of everything that took place before, where Moshe Rabbeinu relates to the Jews, remember all that we went through. And when he reviews the story of Amalek, he says, Asher korcho baderech, Amalek happened to befall us on the path. Korcha means happened to befall us. Korcha is also Miloshin Keri, or Mikre Lailo Chas V'Shalom, which refers to sins related to this item, Pigam Habris. Bechinas Mikre Lailo Chas V'Shalom, Shebo Al Yidei Bechinas Amalek. This refers to sins related to women that come specifically through the Tumah of Amalek. Ki Amalek Yoinek Mebechinas Hadas. Because we know that which part of the Kedusha does Amalek draw his nourishment from the level called Das. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, Reishis Goyim Amalek. Amalek is called the leader of all the nations of the Goyim. The word Reishis means leader. The word Reishis also means the head, the Sechel. He's considered to be the brain of all the nations of the Goyim. Sheze bechinas v'hanochosh hoya orum kanal. This corresponds to what we spoke about before, the concept of a slyness that exists by the snake, that there's also brains by the snake. The nochosh, the satan, also has a brain, which is represented specifically by this koyach of Amalek, which draws from the brain of Kedusha. They try to draw the brain of Kedusha, the sechel of Kedusha, into tuma, to defile it. Shaideze bo chas v'sholom tumas hatayva azayis kanal. We explained earlier that how does this tuma come about? Any sins related to Begama Bris comes about through a letting down of the defenses. What are the defenses against this taiva? We said that the three parts of the brain serve as three fences which block a person's brain from committing any of these types of sins specifically. Because the Gemara said, that this sin specifically of Pegama Bris comes about through a ruach shtus, through a lack of brains. So that when a person's brain is intact, he doesn't commit this type of sin. So that if Amalek is that nation which draws from the brain of Kedusha, they subtract from the brain of Kedusha, they try to draw it onto themselves, by weakening the brain of Kedusha, automatically they make the Bnei Israel susceptible to this pigam, to pigam of Taivas Niv, to Chil Abris. This is why it's written over there that what did Yisroi hear that made him convert? One of the items that he heard was about the Melchemes Amalek. What was the tikkun for this attack of Amalek? When Amalek attacked the Jews and wanted to harm them, what opposed him and defeated him? The tikkun for this is Bechinas Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the Red Sea. Bechinas ato prirato ba'oscho yom shibarto roshei taninim al amoyim. This is the pasuk we quoted earlier, where the pasuk says that you, Moshe Rabbeinu, crumbled, you, Hashem, crumbled with your might the Red Sea, and you broke the heads, roshei taninim, the heads of snake, the heads of tumo al hamayim, over the water. Hainu bechinas mate oiz hanal. How is the Red Sea split? Through the stick of Moshe Rabbeinu, the stick of power, which we said before, that represents the tefillah, the bechinas din of the tzaddik, because we said before, the Gemara says, that whenever a tzaddik performed a miracle, what did he use to perform the miracle with? His koyach ha-tefillah, his power of tefillah. So that when the Torah tells us about this powerful stick of Moshe Rabbeinu, that's only a symbolic term. That's referring to the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Not to say that he didn't have a physical stick. He did. But the stick represented the koyach ha-tefillah, which we said is also the concept of this vav, because where does the tefillah come from? From the throat of a person, the shis is koin shebekone, the six rings of cartilage of the trachea, that's from where the voice comes from. So this vav, this stick, also represents the koyach ha-tefillah. So Rabbi Nazal says, Shaideze moitzien mimenu meimei hadas shebola menakdusha kanal. Through this tefillah bebechinas din, by shooting this into the satan, and when this explodes within the satan, this causes a release of the waters of sechel, which were originally sucked up by the satan. This is the concept of shibarta roshei taninim al hamoyim. You draw out the meimei hachesed, the meimei hadas, which were originally swallowed up by the satan. By shooting this tefillah bebechinas din into him, we're able to release all of these meimei hacheser and meimei hadas. Vaydeze vayishma Yisroi. What's the most important result that comes from this? Converts. Vayishma Yisroi, that Yisroi, who was the shmop of Midian, Yisroi, who was the leading goy at that time, whom the Torah testifies that there wasn't an avodah zarah in the world that he didn't worship, he converted. Hainu bechinas geirim. This is the concept of geirim, converts. Kial yidei mate oiz hanal, through this stick of power, meaning through this tefillah bebechinas din, shehu bechinas kriyas yamsuv, which was manifested at the miracle of the splitting of the Red Sea. Bechinas ato poirarto be'oz choyom. It says you crumbled with your strength the nation, the ocean. Note, the word ozcho is used. And we have another pasuk, mate oiz, that the word oiz refers to this stick, this tefillah bebechinas din. Shehu misakein umachnia melchemes Amalek. It's this tefillah bebechinas din specifically that's able to fix up and to weaken the power of Amalek. Aydezeh nas ngerim. And this is what leads to converts. Bechinas vayishma Yisroi, that Yisroi, the goyim, those goyim who are worthy, get to hear about these miracles to an extent where it goes inside of them, it shocks them to such a point that they want to be drawn close to the Jewish nation. They actually want to join up with the Jewish nation. Bechinas vayishma Yisroi, ki moitzien mimenu gam atzmo ischiyusoi shehu bechinas gerim kanal. Because as a result of the Satan swallowing up this tefillah, bechinas din, when he's forced to vomit it up, not only does he spit up this tefillah, but he also spits up part of his own insides. Literally, his insides come out in this process of throwing up. And what's hidden in the insides of this satan, that represents those goyim who actually belong to the satan. If they're goyim, they're considered members of his organization. They belong to him completely. They also get ejected out of him and get drawn close to Bnei Yisrael. How? Through this Matei Oiz. What brought Yisroi close was this double punch. The fact that there was a Melchemes Amolek, there is this problem of Pigam HaBris that comes about when the Satan draws from the Seichel, he weakens, he sucks out the Seichel, the Chesed, he swallows it up as we explained earlier. That's all represented by the term Melchemes Amolek. How do we combat Melchemes Amolek? When the Satan has swallowed up the Das, the Chesed, how do we combat him? With Tefillah. What kind of Tefillah? A tefillah b'bechinas din specifically, which is represented by the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf. There it wasn't your ordinary type of tefillah. There it says Vayitzaku El Hashem, they screamed. It was a tefillah b'bechinas din, a super, super powerful tefillah, when they were being so pressed, so constricted at that time, that they were being min hametzar korosiko, they were calling out Hashem from this tremendous constriction. That tefillah b'bechinas din was what crumbled the Red Sea. That was the tikkun for the Melchemes Amalek. Note, when did the crumbling, when did that take? These two incidents were right next to each other, the Kriyas Yamsuf and the Melchemes Amalek. That served as a tikkun, and that's what brought about the coming close of Yisroi, that even Gerim won his scarf to the Kedusha.
How does hearing of these miracles manifest itself in that the goyim, the ones who convert, they see the sheker in their own teachings, see what we learned before about when they learn that there are problems in their own religion. How does it connect with this?
The answer is, it seems that we could say by the fact that this tefillah goes inside, in other words, in a sense, it gets swallowed up by the satan, so that it gets this, in other words, here's a package of kiddushah that gets swallowed up by the satan and consumed inside of him. This goes into the satan so that it becomes possible for these people who are totally within the environment of the satan to see within their own camp something that forces them out of their camp. You understand? It's presented as in their sforim, they find certain items that lead them out of their place. Here it's being represented that in order to get them out, you have to offer them a sacrifice in a sense. You have to throw them a bone, and the bone goes into their territory. And by this bone mixing with them, and they start clinging to it, when this bone jumps out, automatically it pulls out with itself a whole load of goyim.
That's the miracles, listening to these miracles.
No, this is an example of it. The fact that this miracle specifically happened to be a case where this Matei Oiz was used, where we found this tefillah b'bechinas din. Just like again by Esther Hamalka, the tefillah there was b'bechinas din. Tzumu alai v'al teichlu v'al tishtu laila v'yayim. She warned that how should they pray? Leich kenois esko ayudim ha'anim tzim b'shushan. V'tzumu alai v'al teichlu v'al tishtu shleish es yomim laila v'yayim. U'bozeh, and with this, I'll come to the king. V'chasher ovadati ovadati. In other words, that if the Jews will constrict themselves, note, eating is a concept of happiness, simcha, mishteh, Mishta v'simcha. In other words, those two go together. Not eating is a bechinas din. You're constricting yourself. And by them doing this at that time, this was what was able to bring forth this tefillah bebechinas din, where it says that Mordechai went out vayizak zoko gedoylo. In other words, he screamed a tremendous scream. Again, a tefillah bebechinas din, that's what brought about that this tefillah went inside their camp, and in their books was found what's the story over there? What happened? That the king couldn't sleep, and he had them bring before him his book, and in his book he found something that was a bailout for the Jews. He found written in his book that Mordechai HaTzadik had once saved his life, and because of that, that's what started off the whole miracle. Exactly. That incident, you see, automatically ties together these two chapters in Likutei Moran. He's quoting a chapter in Likutei Moran that we learned years ago in the beginning of Likutei Moran, where there Rabbeinu Zal explained that what causes converts, that there is a certain way of sending a written message into their books, where when they study their own books, they find within their own books something that contradicts them. And that's what it is here. This was a contradiction to them. In their books, it's supposed to be written about hating the Jews. They found in their own books that Ahasuerus owes his life to Mordechai HaTzadik. And this is what caused the whole bailout. That was one item in the miracle. Another item was the fact that the tefillah bebechinas din was swallowed up. What's the tefillah bebechinas din? Esther Hamalka. You remember, we once said a chiddush a few weeks ago that what does Esther represent? She represents hispoidus, this tefillah bebechinas din, this hidden tefillah, hiding when there's a state of din. The Zohar HaKadosh says that Rabbi Shimon Yochai once told his students he saw the satan, he saw signs of dogs barking a lot, which implied that the satan, the angel of death, was in their city. So Rabbi Shimon Yochai warned his students, don't go out now. Everybody has to stay inside, because now is a time of tremendous din, harshness, and when there's harshness, you have to go hide. So in other words, we see that this concept of hiding is this secret of this tefillah bebechinas din. This is the concept of hispoidus, this tefillah where a person is secluded privately with Hashem, which is represented by this word Esther. Esther means hidden. Remember we said, Vayehav HaMelech es Esther mikol anoshim, Hashem likes the tefillah of hispoidus more than all other kinds of tefillah, because that's this tefillah bebechinas din which finds its way inside, and is able to bring about all of these tikkunim. So in this one miracle alone, we tie together both chapters of Likutei Moran. The fact that they find written in their books something that's contradictory, that leads to the bringing about of Geirim, because what's the end of the story there? V'chol amei horetz misyahadin ki nofal pachad Mordechai aleihem. That in the Megillat Esther, it's written that at that time, because of the miracle, because people saw that a Jew was coming to power, many, many goyim converted at that time.
Mentioned a lot that the Tumah has sort of a license to draw from Kedusha, usually from the Malchus.
Right.
Does the fact that the Amalek is called Rishus in this indicate that it does have a license to draw from the Meifin even of Kedusha?
Yes.
If it does, why are we disturbed by it? In other words, why do we say that we have to totally knock them out and that type of thing if they do in fact have a license to draw from Kedusha?
The answer is, we mentioned this many times, that they're supposed to draw in a very limited amount. It's when they start drawing more than what they're supposed to, that's when the problem comes up. And that's obviously what's being discussed here, where because of our sins, they're able to draw the chesed more than they're supposed to. They're able to draw the das more than they're supposed to. That's when the problem comes up.
Of Timei Yisrael with this program, the ticket for this was the Kriyas Yamsuf. The sequence of events was the other way around.
Catch. Question is, Rabbeinu Zal, in other words, it seems here that Rabbeinu Zal is presenting it that Amalek was the problem and the solution was Kriyas Yamsuf. Would we say that logically the solution comes after the problem? The answer is?
Rabbeinu Zal says,
right.
So in other words, the same thing happened with Yamsuf.
Possible. In other words, what he's mentioning is that Rabbeinu is all saying it's the concept of Kriyas Yamsuf, that concept of a Tefillah B'Bechinas Din that serves as a solution to this problem, or else what other people were saying. Exactly, that Hashem generally prepares a solution before the problem. The Gemara says that out of Hashem's love for Bnei Yisrael, He usually prepares the cure before the illness. And this is definitely a case of this, that if you want to know what one of the reasons why Kriyas Yamsuf took place, because this is what was going to protect them against the Koyach of Amalek. Amalek represents Pigam HaBris, this whole item. The preparation to do battle with him was Kriyas Yamsuf, because as we mentioned many times, what was Amalek? Amalek is Safek. Amalek threatened the Emunah of the Jews. When did the Jews achieve the highest level Emunah? The point in time where the Jews achieved the highest level of faith conceivable was at Kriyas Yamsuf. We say it every day. Vayiru ha'om es Hashem, vayaminu b'Hashem uv'moish avdoi. That it was specifically at the Red Sea that the Jews achieved pure, pure faith in Hashem and in Moshe Rabbeinu. So the tikkun for Amalek was being prepared in advance, that they reached such a peak, so that when Amalek would come, who was this rashi's goyim, he wouldn't be able to destroy them.
Can you explain just that point, saying if we say that Emunah is something that you don't see, and if at that point he didn't saw, like the Shifa, saw Hasaga, actually saw Hashem Kaviyachol in a clearer way than ever before, wouldn't that say that they reached the highest level of Das rather than Emunah?
Both. What is the highest level of Das? Tachlis Hayidia, Asher Loineda. The peak of knowledge is when a person knows that he doesn't know. Meaning that the peak of knowledge is faith. When we start climbing up in the Sphirois, we start climbing up from Malchus to Yisoid, to Hoid, to Netzach, so on and so forth, and we get to Chachma, and we get to Keser, the peak, super peak of wisdom. What's the next level? The malchus of the next world, the faith of the next world. Now, the manner in which the worlds are set up, once you reach the peak of wisdom within one world, and you want to enter into the next level, you have to start again from Emunah. So we see that, and just as what Yechezkel HaNavi, what did he do? He saw, the Pasuk says, Niftechu HaShemayim Vo'ere Marois Elokim. The heavens opened up and I was able to see Hashem. Rav Nosson Zal says, how? The first letters of Niftechu, Hashamayim, Vo'ere, Marois Elokim make up the word Emunah, faith. That it's when a Jew is zeche to have super pure faith, his faith is better than seeing. As well as a person sees, you ask a Jew who really believes in Hashem, which is a clearer vision to you? The fact that that light bulb is shining now, or the fact that there is a Hashem in the world who's in control of every single item that takes place? The answer is no question. The light bulb could be an illusion. We know that there are cases today where you can be faked out. You could be made to think that this is a green light and it's only a mirage based on bouncing off of colors. It looks that way, but in truth, it's the opposite. Whereas the fact that there's a Hashem in the world, that I'm more convinced that you can show me from today till tomorrow, there's nothing that would shake me in any way. Now Rabbi Nizal says, V'zeh b'chinas ramin. This is the concept of thunder. So far we started off talking about Teichocha, we spoke about tefillah, we spoke about a specific type of tefillah, we spoke about the satan drawing from certain items, and how we're able to shoot out a certain type of tefillah which can draw out from him many, many items that he swallowed, which are represented by this concept of converts. Rabbeinu Zal is going to show now the association between converts and thunder, the term thunder. Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'zeh b'chinas ramin." This is the concept of thunder. Ki al yidei geirim, through converts, shenas na yidei mate oyis hanal, which are accomplished through this stick of strength. And I want to pause here for a second. This is being put on tape now for posterity. Hopefully, this is going to be listened to, Mitzvashem, for hundreds of years. Even after Mashiach comes, people are going to be learning Torah. Hopefully, they're going to be listening to this. But I think it pays to mention that I'm positive that in no way is it coincidental that we're learning this topic now, these weeks, when there's a major controversy or major decision about to be made in the Sephardic community about the topic of converts. There was a decree that was signed about 40 years ago that was put into place, whereby the community accepted upon itself, the leaders of the Sephardic community, because of the fact that they felt that there was a major threat to the community in people converting in a wrong kind of way, people converting for the wrong reasons, just to get married. A person starts seeing a goya, chas v'shalom, and then and he likes her and she likes him, and then he sees that he can't. In other words, he wants to get married by a rabbi. The rabbi won't marry him to a goya, so he convinces her to convert, just so that they can have a wedding, a Jewish wedding, just so that his parents will accept him or the community will accept him, which according to the Torah is definitely wrong, improper, and forbidden. So because of this, they issued a decree 40 years ago that they're not accepting any converts whatsoever, even ones that are sincere and good. Zero. This is a rule across the board. No converts accepted into the community whatsoever. And our Rebbe Zecharin Levracha, Rabbi Rosenfeld Zecharin Levracha, battled against this very powerful. In other words, he stood up at a time of controversy, and he said that this is unacceptable. As much as they're saying that this is to serve as a protection, the fact is there is a law in the Torah that says very clearly that if a convert comes to convert with sincerity, the right way, it's the most dangerous sin conceivable to push him away, chas v'shalom. Hashem warns, remember, you were once converts, you were once strangers in a land, and you were treated well. Make sure that when a stranger comes to join you, make sure you treat him very, very carefully, super carefully. The Gemara lists that there are numerous, numerous warnings throughout the Torah about being careful, being sensitive to the feelings of a ger. And Rabbi Zal battled against this, and in fact, there was a family specifically who was involved in this controversy, and Rabbi Zal, I don't know if he himself did the conversion, or he worked to see to it that a person's wife, a person, Rachmor Litzlan, who was living with a Goya at the time, and she did sincerely want to accept Shabbos and the mitzvahs and everything, Rabbi Zal saw to it that she should be converted, and the whole family now lives as Jews, and this family specifically is accepted into the community. At the time, they were, somehow they accepted it, 100%. Now, recently, the 40 years of when this decree was issued is coming to an end, and because of that, in other words, we find in the Gemara, in other places, that certain decrees, after 40 years, it can be nullified automatically. In other words, that's considered a substantial period of time to review the case again. So here the rabbis wanted to see to it that chas v'shalom, that this decree shouldn't get lost. So they're sending around, they're trying to publicize throughout the community, all rabbis of shuls, they want them to sign a document that says that they're buying into this again. In other words, that they want to reissue this decree, that all agree on the fact that we don't accept converts whatsoever across the board. And I'm positive that it's not coincidental that we're learning about this right now, because the fact, in other words, there's no denying that this is a very, very important item, and it's an important controversy. And as we learn more about this, you're going to see the incredible, incredible significance of a convert. What's accomplished when a goy converts? Just like Yisroel, the Zohar HaKadosh says clearly that without him converting, the Jews would never have received the Torah, no question. In other words, you want to search, do a search on the whole Torah. In which parsha of the Torah do we find the act of Hashem giving the Ten Commandments, the Torah, to the Jews? It's not in Parshas Moshe, it's not in Parshas Noach, it's in the parsha called Parshas Yisroel, the parsha that begins dealing with the topic that this man converted, and immediately an announcement was given in heaven, the Zohar HaKadosh says, now we're ready to go down to earth. This made such a big splash in heaven that a goy, which goy? The furthest goy conceivable, the Pope, whom the Torah testifies, the Gemara says, he worshipped every single idol on the map. When he said, Atu Yodati ki Godol Hashem Yikol Lekim, I recognize that the Hashem of the Jews is greater than all the idols. The Gemara says, how did he know all the idols? Because he knew all the idols. There wasn't a single one whom he didn't have contact with. When he came along and made that statement, the Zohar HaKadosh says, at that point, an announcement, an alarm went off in heaven. Hashem said, okay guys, let's go down there. Let's give them the Torah. Now the world is right, because this caused such a spectacular kavod to Hashem, such an honor that one who is so far from Hashem could come to recognize Hashem, there was nothing more impressive that had taken place in the history of the world up until that time than that event, as we're going to see in a minute. Watch this paragraph, how Rabbein Ezal explains this concept of thunder. Rabbein Ezal says, "V'zeh b'chinas ramin." This is the concept of thunder. Kal yidei geirim shenas mal yidei matel yishanal, through converts, which are brought about through this stick of power that we discussed, this tefillah b'chinas din. Al yidei shehas sitrach muchrachas lahachzir kol hakedusha shebolo im atzmo yischius. So kanal, through the fact that the Satan is obligated to return all the holiness that he swallowed. Not just all the holiness that he swallowed, but part of himself is forced to give up some of the organs of his body that shudder when he vomits with such tremendous power, and they come tumbling out. This causes a tremendous, tremendous increase and heightening of the glory of Hashem. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, Hovu l'Hashem mishpochei samim, come forth to Hashem, the nations of the world, the families of the nations of the world, Hovu l'Hashem kovoy voiz, and bring to Hashem honor and power. That when these nations, when these mishpachos samim come to Hashem, they bring with them tremendous kavod, tremendous glory to Hashem, and tremendous power. V'zeh b'chinas ramim. This is the concept of thunder, because we find that in that same chapter in Tehillim where it says these words, Hovu l'Hashem mishpachos samim, Hovu l'Hashem kavod voiz, it also says right near there, it says, Bechinas keil hakovoid hirim Hashem almayim rabim, that the Hashem of kovoid, the Hashem of honor, thunders forth on the multitude of waters. Note, kovoid hirim. Before we said hovel Hashem mishpachos samim, hovel Hashem kovoid, that what gives the kovoid, the mishpachos samim. Here we're saying keil hakovoid hirim, that this glory manifests itself in Hashem bringing forth thunder. Thunder is a manifestation of the glory of Hashem, the power of Hashem. Mayim rabim ze bechinas meimei hadas. The fact that the words mayim rabim are used here, keil hakovoid hirim al Hashem amayim rabim, Hashem thunders forth on the plentiful waters, that represents these waters of das, these waters of sechel, which were originally swallowed up by the Satan, as we explained before. Bechinas ki molo ha'oretz deyas Hashem kamayim liyam mechasim. There's a pasuk that says that when Mashiach will come, the world is going to be filled with wisdom like the water that covers the ocean floor. So we see that wisdom is symbolized by this water. Ha'keil ha'kovoid hirim al-mayim rabim. This thunder over this water, over this sechel. Haynu b'chinas meimei hadas she'yotzim min ha'sitrachro v'chozrim el ha'kedusha. This refers to the waters of das that exit from the Satan and become returned to the Kedusha. And when that takes place, it manifests itself in the bringing forth of gerim, converts. Shaydeze nasim gerim, venizgadil kvoideis barach. Through that are brought forth converts, and this heightens the kavod of Hashem. Shezeu b'chinas ramim, this is the concept of thunder. B'chinas keil ha'kavod hirim. The Hashem of kavod gives thunder. That these two are synonymous. The manifestation of the kavod of Hashem is in converts, and it's in thunder. Rabbein Ezal says, Ki harash v'hapirsum shenisparsim kavod yisporach ayidei hagerim. The tremendous noise and the splash that's made when converts convert, the big deal, at the fact that these people who were so far from Judaism, they come to recognize Hashem, ze bechinas ramim. That's similar to the concept of thunder, which is also a concept of a big splash. Shehem koil rash godel. Thunder is a very, very blasting type of noise. Kiyom razal, because the Gemara tells us in Brachos, the Gemara says, my ramim, what is thunder? How is this physical act of thunder brought about? The Gemara says, Anani de shafchi maya lahadodi. There's a controversy there in the Gemara. Several rabbis list different opinions as to how thunder comes about. One of the opinions is that the noise of thunder is the noise that's brought forth when one cloud pours its water into another cloud. Anani de shafchi maya lahadodi. It's the clouds spilling water from one to another. Rabbeinu Zal explains, Anani, the Shafchu Mayo, clouds that spill water, Zebechinas Hasitrachra, that represents the Soton. The term cloud is a term that's used very often about the Soton, as the Pasuk says in Eicha, Shehi Bechinas Sakoiso Beonon Loch Me'avor Tfilo. The Pasuk says, Hashem, you have covered yourself up with a cloud, you've placed a cloud in separation between us the Jews and yourself, so as not to allow our prayers to rise up to you, not to allow the tefillos of the Jews to come to you. So Rabbeinu Zal says, Hainu ha-klipos ha-ma'akvenes ha-tfilo. This represents the shell. This cloud represents the klipa, the tumah, that blocks the tefillos of the Jews from coming up to Hashem. Rabbeinu Zal says now, Kishechoizrin v'shoifchin meimei hadas shebolu. Now, when these clouds return this water that they swallowed up, the water represents the seichel, or the kindness that they swallowed up, when these clouds give up this water, they give forth this water, they spill out this water, ze bechinas anani deshafchimayo. That's a concept of clouds pouring forth water. Ve'oz nizgale kevoido yisborach. That's when the kavoy, the glory of Hashem, is revealed. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, ukevoid Hashem nire be'onon. There's a pasuk in the Torah where the pasuk says that the honor, the glory of Hashem, was revealed in a cloud. Many times when Hashem revealed Himself to the Jews, He revealed Himself in a cloud. So we see that where is the kavoid of Hashem to be found? In the cloud, in the Satan, when members of the Satan, when members of the Goyim come and convert to the Jews, that's the true kavod, that's the greatest honor to Hashem. V'ze b'chinas ramin kanal. This is the concept of thunder. So we see now how these two terms and converts are synonymous, because we showed how both of them are tied into this term kavod. Havol Hashem mishpachay samim, havol Hashem kavod va'oiz. That when the families of the nations of the goyim join the Jewish nation, this brings forth honor and strength. And we saw also keil hakavod hirim, keil hakavod hirim. That one of the manifestations of the honor of Hashem is ramim, thunder. Rabbeinu Zal says v'al kein, and therefore. Siruf Gerim, the Hebrew word for converts is Gerim. Rabbeinu Zal says, Hu Roshei Tevois, the word Gerim makes up the first letters of a pasuk which speaks about the greatness of thunder. There's a pasuk which says, Ra'am Givu Raisav Mi Yizboinon. The thundering of the power of Hashem, which person can understand that? Which person can achieve an understanding of that? Ki geirim heim bechinas. So the first letters of that pasuk, ra'am givuroisav mi yisvainon, make up the word geirim. Ki geirim heim bechinas ra'amim kanal. Because geirim, converts, are synonymous with thunder. Just as thunder is a manifestation of the kavod of Hashem, and how is thunder brought about? By the physical act of clouds pouring forth their water. So too, the converts represent the cloud, which represents the Soton. We said, Sakoiso, Be'onon Loch Me'avor Tfilo. The cloud represents the Soton, who blocks the prayers of the Jews from getting to Hashem. When these clouds give up their water, they give forth their water, they give back water that they swallowed up, representing Seichel and Chesed that they swallowed up. That's this concept of converts. So the concept of converts joining the Jewish nation is synonymous with this item of thunder. Now note, there's another connection. Rav Nosson Zal in Likutei Halachos brings a remez in the word onon, the Hebrew word for cloud, to show how that speaks specifically about gerim, converts. There's a pasuk which we say right before we blow shofar. Now note, what's the blasting of the shofar? What does that represent? That's this thunder. This ram givurois of mi is boinon. Rabbeinu Zal brings in Torah Hey and Mikutim Ran Chelik Aleph that the blasting of the shofar, that represents this thunder. Hayitoka shofar bo'ir va'am lo yechrodu. That the blasting of the shofar terrifies people, just like the crashing sound of thunder. Right before we blow shofar, we say a chapter in Tehillim. And in that chapter of Tehillim, there's a pasuk which says, Nedive amim ne'esofu, those precious ones of the nations of the goyim were gathered in am Elokei Avraham, the nation of the Hashem of Avraham Avinu. this pasuk refers specifically to converts. In other words, why does it say the nation of the Hashem of Avram Avinu? Why not the Hashem of Yitzchak and Yaakov? Because Avram Avinu was the first one who was most noted for a hanefesh asherosu b'choron, a Jew who went out and made converts. He was the one who was authorized. We today, chas v'shalom, to say that we're permitted to go looking for converts. That's a sin. That's breaking a law in Shulchan Aruch, no question. But, if a convert comes with complete sincerity, and he proves himself to be wanted, not that he's coming to join Judaism because he wants to marry someone, or because of a money, a business deal, he's coming because he has developed a true, sincere respect for the religion of the Jews, for the Hashem of the Jews, for the mitzvahs, and he wants to join, that's the greatest kavod to Hashem. So Rav Nosson Zal says, note this pasuk, Nedivei Amim Ne'esofu. Those worthy ones, the good ones of the nations of the Goyim, were gathered in the first letters, Nedivei Amim Ne'esofu. The first letters make up the word Onon, the cloud. Because note, the Gemara tells us what was unique about the clouds that traveled with the Jews throughout the desert. Those clouds were able to bring in anyone who was worthy to join the Jewish community, and they were able to spit out anybody who wasn't worthy. So those clouds represented specifically this power to be able to know who to reach out to and bring close, not just within the Jewish nation, but even outside. Nedivei Amim Ne'esofu. Those worthy ones from the other nations, not from our nation, they were also gathered in. When? In this power of the Onon, the clouds. And this is the whole secret. Just, we're going to go off on a tangent, but we're going to explain spectacular items. This is the whole secret of the holiday of Sukkos. The Zohar HaKadosh says that one thing that's spectacular about this holiday of Sukkos is, where it's unique from any other holiday, that this holiday, because it's Zman Simchosenu, it's called Zman Simchosenu, the holiday of our happiness, and Simcha is the highest level of Kedusha conceivable. Simcha is the Keser. When do we know that you're dealing with a super high level of Kedusha? When you can reach down to the lowest depths of Tumah and bring them close, bring about a tikkun over there. Therefore, it's this holiday of Sukkah specifically that we bring 70 sacrifices during the 7 days of Sukkah. The first day they brought 13 sacrifices, the next day 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, forming a total of 70 porim, 70 oxen, 70 cows, corresponding to the 70 nations of the Goyim. All the Mafosha, well, who's interested in it? We bring sacrifices corresponding to the nations of the Goyim. And note, on the holiday of Sukkos, what do we say when we go around the Hishanois? Leman das kol amei ha'oretz ki Hashem hu elikim einoid. We want to notify to all nations of the world that Hashem is the real Hashem. What do we want to tell them for? Let them jump in a lake. Let them sit on it. Who cares? This holiday specifically, the mission is Leman das kol amei ha'oretz ki Hashem elikim einoid. We walk with the lulav right out in the street. The Zohar Kodesh says there's a special mitzvah not to leave your lulav and esrog and hadasim in the house or leave it in shul. There's a special mitzvah of walking through the streets on the holiday of Sukkos to show the goyim the mitzvah. Why? Because on this holiday there exists such a super kedusha, such a special holiness, that this holiday is mesugal to be able to know, even among the 70 nations of the goyim, who's permitted to come close and who's not. Why? Because what's one of the reasons why? The Gemara lists two reasons why we have the holiday of Sukkos. One reason is because Kibasuko is Hoshafti as Bnei Israel by Itzir Samarat Mitzrayim, because Hashem seated the Jews in actual tents like this in the desert. The other reason is to correspond to the seven clouds that traveled with the Jews throughout the desert. That's why we have these 7 days of Sukkos. This is why this holiday specifically is the holiday when we're permitted to bring sacrifices that total up the number of the nations of the Goyim. Why? These sacrifices are what's able to bring about this Nedivei Amim Ne'esofu, that we reach such a high level of holiness that we're even able to pick out the Kedusha from within the Tumah itself, from within the 70 nations of the Goyim, Laman Das Kol Amei Ha'oretz. On this day we could even reach out to them and bring forth from them those few that are worthy of entering into the Kedusha. And this is just a droplet of a droplet of a droplet of the explanations that Rav Moshe Zal gives on Likutei Halachos, we're learning a little bit of Likutei Moran. You begin to understand the Beis Hamikdash, the holidays. You begin to understand a much, much deeper significance to every single mitzvah that we have in the Torah, Purim, the Megillah, all of these things. You have people who read this, know about this, and yet they know, but it's only on the surface. They don't know the inside story. They don't know the secrets behind these mitzvahs, which when a person is zeichet to learn it, that's when you develop what? You develop a big brain? No. You develop spectacular emunah. It just strengthens your faith more than anything else, your emunah in Hashem. You begin to see how special the Torah is, that there's no way in the world that this religion could chas v'shalom be man-made like the other ones. There's no way in the world that this book could have been designed by a human mind, chas v'shalom, the Chumash or the Gemara or all of these secrets of the Torah.
Does this relate to the fact that Hashem is found in a cloud you mentioned? Does it relate to the thing you mentioned about the Arafel, where Moshe Rabbeinu approached the Arafel and his container?
Right. That's another example of this. That where is Hashem to be found? Bikrach Godel Shebaroimi. That even within the biggest tumah, there's a Kedusha hidden there that's the most spectacular Kedusha conceivable. We mentioned Avram Avinu. Where did Avram Avinu come forth? From super, super tuma. His parents were so tume. His father was the biggest idol worshipper conceivable. Dovra Melech, where does he come from? From converts. Picture if a Jew denies, if we are to issue a decree, chas v'shalom, no converts whatsoever, then it's like we're closing the gates on Moshiach, chas v'shalom. Moshiach is going to come from a convert. King David came from Rus HaMoyavia. Rus was a Moabite. No question at all. A convert from the Goyim, from that came forth King David, from whom will come forth the Moshiach. That's how sensitive. Why? Here again, here's your proof. Because we say that the highest Kavod comes from the Gerim. Who is the representative of Kavod? The Melech, the King. V'yavoi Melech HaKavod. Therefore, David HaMelech, who represents the super king of the Jews, he had to come from the converts. Because that's what makes his Kavod, that's what makes such a big splash, where his glory, the glory that he gives to Hashem, is more than anybody else could. Because the type of glory that's gotten by Hashem from one who didn't even originate from the Jewish faith came from so, so far out, and he recognizes the faith of Hashem, that's like a much bigger splash than one who was raised in this his whole life. This is the concept of B'mokim Shebalei Tshuva in them, Ein Tzadikim Gemurim Yechelam Lamoy. That the nachas that a Baal Tshuva can give Hashem is much, much higher than a tzaddik. A tzaddik is one who was raised in religion his whole life. He was raised in a religious community. He was Shemesh Shabbos. All of this, he saw it. Hashem gets nachas from what he does. But the Gemara says, in a sense, it can't compare to the type of nachas that Hashem gets from a person who started off in life not knowing about these things, being far from religion, far from Shabbos, far from mitzvahs. And coming from there, he was able to pull himself out of that pit and bring himself into the Kiddusha and orient himself to a religious way of life. That's a much bigger deal by Hashem than the one who was weathered, grown in this his whole life. Baruch Hashem. Halavai, we should be zeicha to get to understand the meaningfulness of the mitzvahs and every branch of the Torah, and be careful not to chas v'shalom challenge one letter in the Torah, chas v'shalom, to be very, very sensitive to this, and at the same time to be zeicha to emunas chachamim. We have to know that the ones who are authorized to interpret the Torah are the rabbis of the generation. We have to go by the true rabbis in every generation. It's not each and every rabbi who has the authority to interpret it any way he wants. Where if one rabbi feels that a certain thing is a danger, he's going to go change a mitzvah in the Torah, chas v'shalom, because he thinks that's going to cure the problem. If we're afraid of a problem of intermarriage, let's educate the kids in elementary school and high school not to go near a goya, chas v'shalom. Not chas v'shalom, the opposite, where we hear that kids are being told that if you want to have a good time, don't do it with a Jewish girl, chas v'shalom, because if you do it with a Jewish girl before you get married, it's a very big sin. If a person, chas v'shalom, commits a sin with a goya, that's a lighter type of sin before he's married. So that's how you learn, that's how you practice. When it comes to getting married, make sure you marry a Jew so that everything's kasher. That's the biggest hypocrisy conceivable, Chas v'Shalom. Somebody is giving a license to Jews because for playing around with Goya, you'll only get 6 billion degrees of Gehinnom, and for playing around with a Jew, they'll make it 6 billion and one. That's why we're going to give them a license, Chas v'Shalom. Do this rather than that. And when it comes to getting married, tell the Goya who you've been with for the past 5 years, tell her, Kish, because I'm sorry, the rabbis aren't going to marry me off, and shift gears and go find the Jew to marry. I'm saying it's silly. It's really, you stop to think about it, it's a silly approach to a problem. Halavai, we should be zeche that in our community, which means the entire Jewish community, we shouldn't experience this problem. We should be zeche to understand what it means to marry a Jew, what it means, Rachmona Litzlan, if a Jew, Chas v'Shalom, looks outside to get married, how unkosher that is, Chas v'Shalom, to even look at a Goya is unkosher. Certainly how much more so to have any closer association. And be zeche that whatever true converts, those that are really, really sincere and holy, we should know how to conduct ourselves with them with the greatest respect, the way the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch tell us to. And we should be zeche thereby to get to see the coming of Moshiach Tzidkenu, the being of Mitzvah, the Amen, Amen, the Amen.
Amen.
This topic of Gerim is discussed in the Chumash a lot, in the Gemara. And here I'm showing you a dimension of this that a lot of people have no idea. They don't begin to understand what that word ger means, that it's not a joke. That this whole, in the Kisvei Arizal, the Arizal explains, how does this item come about? In other words, Nishamot, what does that mean? Was this person at Mount Sinai or not? There's a lot to know about this before you're in a position to issue a judgment. Shem should help us to be guided on the right track.
Maybe someone could address the issue like how the alternative, like he was pushing and...
In other words, he was saying, in other words, you can't solve a problem by erasing a line.
Did he give them like a better way of examining Aaron? Like it's an alternative.
That wasn't the question. In other words, that wasn't the question. The question wasn't that Rabbi Zal gave them a license to convert people who are just doing it to get married. That chas v'shalom. But he was saying, you can't say, in other words, you want to say that if you see somebody coming who's not sincere, you're not going to convert that person, then you're following the law of the Torah. That's what the Torah says. You want to say that you're going to make a rule, and your rule, no exceptions to the rule. And that, Chas v'Shalom, challenges a case of a convert who comes with the utmost of sincerity, where and you're going to say he can't have an aliyah in our shul, he can't come into our shul, we won't register his kid in our school, that's dangerous. To say the least, it's dangerous.
Is there any basis on his firm to be able to zero?
Yes, their basis is, they know, this is what I heard, that they say that in a community of 10,000 people, Kananara, they have under 100 intermarriages, which they're saying today that's a very, very good percentage. And the way that they were able to keep it like that was by telling the people, notifying the people, that no way in the world are we going to accept a convert. So that's what's making sure that there's no intermarriage. But on the other hand, there's a lot of other things. In other words, let's say it doesn't come to a technical marriage, but there's a lot of other things that are going on also. And there are cases of gerim that are sincere where there's controversy. Now, Rabbi Ovadia Yosef himself did convert a couple. This I know is a fact. I heard it from David Yassou, I heard it from Rabbi Farchi, I heard it from Sephardic rabbis. And the rabbis here told him that, listen, we made this decree to protect our community, and therefore, and he said, if this is accepted by all, then I won't challenge it. But in other words, there I think it's more of a political item, that nobody wants to buck the whole system. In other words, if everybody's going along with this, nobody wants to challenge it. But Rabbi Zal seemed to say that this is not the kind of thing where majority rules. Majority rules that they decide that it's too hot outside, and therefore today we can do away with tzitzis, chas v'shalom. You can't say that majority rules over there. That's not called a majority.
This is only the American Sephardic communities and Eretz Yisrael. This is no concept.
No. In other words, this is mostly here. But in other words, this is where they're trying to implement it across the world. That's why they're involving Rabbi Ovadia Yosef. In other words, he did convert a couple, and they sent him letters that, you know, we're all in agreement on this, and if you're going to, you know, it's going to cause a disunity and everything. And from what I understand, he was willing to go. I don't know. In other words, I want to make it very clear that I don't have all the facts on this, but I know some of what's going on, and I want to mention what our Rebbe's opinion is on this, and we just happen to be learning about this, and we see that this is no small thing. It isn't the kind of thing that you can push away with your hand. Picture doing away with the Ten Commandments. Who's ready to say that, you know, is we don't accept a convert in our community? Well, then let's cut out this chapter in the Torah that deals with converts, because otherwise we have a big problem. Notice, we simply have to eliminate two chapters only, no big deal, the Ten Commandments and Moshiach. The rest of the religion remains intact. Just do away with the Ten Commandments and the concept of Moshiach, everything else is okay. That's a lot.
Now they're trying to recycle it again to get it going again. Is there meeting any opposition, or is it just going around saying everybody sign up? Is there any force that's opposed?
I don't know. I don't know.
There was
controversy, it's, you know, if they had to have meetings, it seems not everybody accepted it. But again, I don't know if anybody is going about it the way, in other words, our rabbi at the time, Rabbi Rosenfeld of Shimon, he locked horns, you know, he was ready to challenge anybody in a debate, you know, sell it to me, you know, this isn't a joke. This is a very, very big decision. You're saying that there's a tremendous threat. Let's see, is this the only option that we have in dealing with that threat? Because there are two ways to solve a problem. A kid cries, you take a gun and kill him, or throw him out the window where he ceases to cry, or you teach him not to, you spank him, or you give him the lollipop that he, you know, you have to know when to use what. So, we should be zeichet to get to follow Hashem's Torah, and the words of the rabbis, the right way. It's a shame.
He's saying that they have somewhere in there. Well, this all goes back to, I don't know the rabbi's name, a very good rabbi at the time in South America. He did give a lecture in one of the Sephardic synagogues. I don't know if they would allow that. If this. I'm sure they were aware that he was giving a
watching. Right. So here again, I'm not. When we spoke now, it wasn't to reprimand. It was to discuss an issue, and to discuss some of the items related. But to know how sensitive an item this is.
And they do also feel that without this, that they would lose control of the community. Many in the community, it's growing at a very rapid pace. There's much more than 10,000. I think the estimates are closer to 25, 30.
That was a yeah. figure that I heard. Period. Somebody mentioned that. Yeah. They're saying 10,000 families.
Oh, families.
Families, that's the word that was used. Out of 10,000 families, you know,
that's a good estimate.
A decent estimate.
Right estimate. Yeah. There are a lot now moving away from
it. But to me, it looks like a lot of it has to do with education at a young age. In other words, I'm pointing out things that I heard. Sure. That, in other words, people are playing where if the Torah lists 8 levels of severity of penalties, people are willing to go up to 7 now. In other words, if I know that there's something worse than what I'm doing, I don't feel that bad. It's an interesting psychology. You know, that's... Try to do it physically. In other words, if you know if you take a neutron bomb, it can blow out, you know, 800 blocks. Okay, then we'll give you a hydrogen bomb instead. We're not going to ask you to use a neutron bomb. Take a hydrogen bomb and swallow it. We'll detonate it. You swallow it. You eat it. We'll put it in a spoon.
Well, in most cases, I think for that, you don't know the right...
That's what it is. Exactly. And the Gemara warns against that. Don't ever take lightly. Don't ever say that because this is a lighter kind of sin. I'll take because Avera, one sin leads to another, one mitzvah leads to another.
You mentioned anyway recently that someone who was a Goya, commits automatically a whole range of things,
right.
Nidan,
right.
A whole range of things anyway.
Right. So again, it's certainly far from a light item. I don't know. Shem should hope that things should improve.